Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Like today, there is a great tendency towards jingoism and overly sentimental, mushy kind of remembrances, and it's a very difficult show to do in the sense that no matter which road you decide to go down, you're going to come up short. But today I decided to write a small monologue for the show called Uncivil Liberties. It's very brief, and I hope you listen to it and then comment here on the Savage Nation. And today I want to speak about the uncivil liberties being used by our enemies to destroy us, both the enemy within and without, who are slowly but surely gaining the upper hand in their attempt to weaken us to the point where we can no longer defend ourselves. Their ultimate goal? The end of freedom and the imposition of Islam upon every man, woman, and child. What are these uncivil liberties? The enemy within uses the uncivil liberty of freedom of speech to preach hatred for our way of life. He uses freedom of assembly to gather in mosques. He uses freedom of religion to hide behind the minarets while plotting our end. He even uses our freedom of the press to disseminate his calls for jihad or holy war right within our own nation. There comes a time in every nation's history where certain freedoms must be curtailed if the nation is to survive. In the extreme, this is known as martial law. At this time in our history, we do not require martial law to protect ourselves. We require the Patriot Act, gutted by the enemy within the ACLU just last week. We require the freedom to tell each and every American where the terrorist must be hiding, what the terrorist looks like, what language the terrorist speaks, and who to report suspicious activities and persons to. These common sense acts of vigilance are not now being enacted, owing to the dominance of the left-wing media and the stranglehold on our police agencies by civil libertarians, both within and outside the courts. It was once said, when the leaders will not lead the people must lead the leaders. Now is our time to lead our leaders in this war against radical Islam. We, the people, must be vigilant where the government dares not tread. We must demand a means such as an 800 number that all suspicious activity or persons can be reported to the authorities. In conclusion, we are as vulnerable to being attacked, if not more vulnerable, than we were on September 11, 2001. Only when we the people stand up to the gangs of the illegitimate, suicidal leftists in the courts, in the press, and in the government itself, do we have a whisper of a chance to stop the next attack. These crazy leftists would put their socialist principles above survival. Let me remind them that the ultimate principle is survival. This is Michael Savage. Let's hear the music again, please, and then I'll take your calls right here on the Savage Nation. this hour, I'm going to play for you my opening monologue from 9/11/2001, where I was the first, certainly not the last, in the media to declare that this was the first act of World War III. It could be argued that the first act of World War III occurred many years before. It depends upon where you begin your historical analysis. To me, 9/11/2001 was the opening shot in World War III. And here we are 6 years later, and most of America could care less. Most of America doesn't want to know about it. They'd rather watch some degenerate white trash Pop-Tart dancing in underwear than pay observance to their own survival. And I can only do so much. None of us can do more than we're doing, in a way. And that is because we are hogtied by our government. Our government has many roles. Perhaps the most important role of a government is to protect the people. I don't know about you, but I don't feel I'm being protected by these pinheads from Yale. I don't know about you, but I don't feel very secure in knowing that the FBI has to go through protocols and handbooks before they can say one word or before they can appraise one potential terrorist. They have to make sure that a filthy, dirty, degenerate lawyer from Columbia or NYU approves of their actions before they even bug a mosque. Now, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, is it not common sense that the people hear who the enemy is? The other day, we saw Osama bin Laden, his speech, of course, written by Gadain, probably the American turncoat from Los Angeles. I beat the CIA to that analysis, and they copied me on Monday, which was very interesting, that they're counterterrorism analysts and not as smart as I am. I thought that was pretty amazing. I have no data. It's called common sense, which is unfortunately sorely lacking in the United States government today. How is it that we've still not had one speech where they say the enemy, probably to a 99th percentile, is a Middle Easterner who is a Muslim who speaks Arabic, who looks like this and meets these parameters? He is between the ages of 18 and 45 years old. Most likely he still has a beard. Most likely he congregates in Arabic-speaking communities such as Dearborn, Michigan. Most likely he is in a mosque. You want me to go on? Have you heard that speech once anywhere from any government official? You know why you haven't heard it. You haven't heard it because the government is, in essence, paralyzed. We have a paralyzed, centralized government. The government has been paralyzed by the illegitimate left. And we, the people, are sitting here waiting to be attacked again like a beaten wife, like a wife who was continuously beaten by an Arabic-speaking husband. And we're sitting here saying, well, honey, I don't know, but I think he's going to hit me again. Do you think it's going to really be bad this time, Martha? Well, I don't know, but we surely are going to get hit again. This is what we hear from our counterintelligence agencies. This is what we hear from the NSA, the FBI, and the CIA, that we're surely not possibly going to get hit, but it's only a matter of when we get hit. That's the best they can do. They're not doing the job. Telling us that they're going to set off a dirty bomb in our country and they can't stop them? You're telling me you have faith in a government that tells you that this one city in this country is going to have a dirty nuclear device set off in a city and they can't stop it? Now, why can't they stop it? You may say, well, we don't know who's going to do it. Well, it may be true that in the specifics, we don't know who's going to do it, but we can pretty much, within a 99th percentile of assurance, tell you what the attacker is going to look like, what language he speaks, and what countries he possibly comes from. I've heard all of the propaganda that we have terrorists today who are blonde hair and blue-eyed. I'm sick and tired of hearing about the Timothy McVeigh lookalikes who have never set off these bombs. No, it's not Timothy McVeigh that we have to be afraid of. It's not the old lady in the wheelchair who is frisked at the airport who we have to be afraid of. It's not the five-year-old child who's stripped down to his underwear at the airport by the airport so-called security who we have to fear. It's the people that they won't frisk. It's the people they're afraid to say a word to, owing to your good friends from NYU, Columbia, and Harvard, and the other institutions of lower living. And as I said to you earlier, there comes a time in every nation's history where certain freedoms must be curtailed. And we require the freedom to hear where the terrorists must be hiding. Where are they hiding? Are they hiding in a church? Are they hiding in a synagogue? Are they hiding in a Buddhist monastery? Are they hiding in a mosque? Well, they could be anywhere, but I would say to a 99th percentile, most likely they're in a mosque. Let's start with the parameters of reality. And what do they look like? Well, to within a 1 percentile range, they might not look like an Arab from the Middle East, but within 99th percentile of assurance, they will look like an Arab, just like the ones who attacked us on 9/11. What language do they speak? What race are they? What ethnicity are they? What country of origin are they? Who are these suspicious persons? Do you know of a number? Do you know of a single phone number that you could call? Let us say you're driving on a bridge tomorrow and you see two suspicious-looking Arabic-looking men, Arabic-speaking and looking men, walking around with cameras, photographing a bridge. Would you know who to call? You wouldn't know who to call. And that's because the illegitimate leftists have made it a crime to use common sense to protect yourself and to protect our nation. So you probably call a local police station. They'd put you through to a cop, and the cop would either say, you're crazy or don't bother me. But it wouldn't go to a centralized 800 number. Now, why is it 6 years after 9/11, 2001, there's no centralized number to report suspicious activity to? Answer, because the ACLU has, in essence, taken over the United States government. In essence, the illegitimate left wing is the government of the United States of America. If every act of the government has to be checked by the illegitimate vermin in the ACLU, the drug addicts, the perverts, the deviants in the ACLU, ultimately we're all going to die. I'm trying to warn you again. I must warn you again. I must warn you again that when the leaders will not lead the people must lead the leaders. We must lead our impotent leaders in this war against radical Islam. We did not start this war. They started this war. They started this war in the 7th century. They have been on the war path ever since Muhammad had his visions in the desert. His vision was to convert the entire world to Islam or kill those who would not be converted. Make no mistake about it, nothing has changed in these hundreds of years. Only right now they have smelled their time. They sense their opportunity. They smell weakness. They smell bureaucratic weakness, and they see it wherever they turn. Yes, as I said to you, in every nation's history, there comes a time where certain freedoms must be curtailed. In the extreme, this is known as martial law. And I have told you we are not yet at that extreme. We do not need martial law to protect ourselves. We need to gut the enemy within. That is, the ACLU must be dissolved by the United States government. We must restore the Patriot Act. We must have the freedom to tell each and every one of ourselves where the terrorists are hiding, what they look like, what language they speak. And ultimately, we must demand an 800 number that all suspicious activity or persons can be reported to so the authorities can follow up each and every lead. I want to conclude again. We are as vulnerable to being attacked, if not more vulnerable than we were on September 11th, 2001. Only when we the people stand up to the gangs of the illegitimate suicidal leftists in the courts, in the media, and in the government itself, do we have a whisper of a chance to stop the next attack. These crazy leftists are putting their socialist principles above our survival. And let me remind you and them again that the ultimate principle is survival. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back. Savage. When there's a homicide in a city and there's a vague description of the perpetrator of that homicide, traditionally homicide cops went into the neighborhood where the perpetrator likely would hide. For example, if the perpetrator was heard to speak, to have spoken German and had blonde hair and blue eyes, they would probably go to German-speaking neighborhoods and look for the suspicious person. Now, I'm not so sure that they're not doing that. Now, I would assume that there is a certain amount of surveillance of Arabic-speaking communities. It would be commonsensical to do so, and, of course, totally suicidal not to do so. So I don't know the extent to which this is being done, but it worries me that I hear every other day that another so-called intelligence official is saying that it's not a matter of if, but when we're going to be hit likely with a dirty bomb. That's unacceptable to me. I would take internment camps before a nuclear bomb is set off in a city in this country. I'd rather see an internment camp set up around this country in every quarter of this country rather than sit here shaking. Now, why should we put civil liberties above survival? What sense does that make? Even the socialist Democrat President Roosevelt had internment camps for Japanese in World War II. We know how horrible they were. They were not a nice place to be. Of course, nobody was tortured as they were in Germany. But nevertheless, they lost their freedoms for a certain period of time. Was it because every man, woman, and child of Japanese ancestry was potentially a terrorist? No, that's not at all what the government decided. But they knew that by gathering up whole Japanese American communities, in the mix would be the spies. In the mix would be the saboteurs who, at the very least, would no longer be able to operate in this country. That was the thinking then. Now, you can't tell me that the same common sense doesn't apply today. The only thing prohibiting such activity is political weakness and suicidal leftist realities of the type that we hear every day in this country. Now, I'll take your calls. I know that many of you find this crazy because you'd rather die than give up your socialist principles. I understand that. You'd rather sacrifice yourself for your principles. But you know what? You're welcome to. Go jump off a bridge. Nasser, WTNT in Washington. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I just want to say that profiling would not work in this country. I mean, the reason behind this is all the 19 hijackers didn't have any beards. They were not going to mosques. They were not wearing typical Muslim dress.
I understand, but what? Wait, but you're right about all of that. But what did they have in common?
Well, I mean, they're not Muslims. That's a fact.
What do you mean that's a fact? What were they, Christians?
No, they are. I don't know what religions they are, but they are not Muslims.
Well, wait a minute. Now you're changing history. So far, you were rational. Now you're changing history. All 19 had certain things in common. They were all from Saudi Arabia, with the exception of one, if I remember, was from Jordan. In other words, they were all Middle Easterners. They all spoke Arabic. Is that correct?
That is correct. Doesn't mean.
All right, so there are certain things you can profile. Don't say you can't profile certain things.
Savage.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
Now, the difference between Roosevelt and Bush and then and now can be heard in the next clip, 21. Listen one, please.
That the Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire.
Now, what's missing is that President Bush has not declared a state of war against anyone. We have been lied to by the compromised interests of government who tell us that these terrorists act on their own or their shadowy independent cells. That's total and absolute rubbish. I have told you this from the beginning. The model is organized crime and the structure of organized crime. There are no assassinations within the world of organized crime, with rare exception, that are not approved by higher-ups. It's a strict hierarchy, or the structure could never exist. It is not a series of random gangsters who just do as they wish, because then the word organized would have no meaning. So it comes from one level down to the next level, ultimately down to the man on the street, the assassin, the so-called muscle. We've all watched enough of these movies to know how it works. It's the same with organized terrorism. These acts of terror, whether they be in the United States of America, in Bali, in the Philippines, in London, in New Delhi, in whatever country you want to mention, are all coming from a centralized command post. They are either coming out of princes in Saudi Arabia, or out of Iran, or out of Syria, the good home of the Democrats. The titular head of the Democrat Party lives in Syria. Just the other day, this psychopath Kucinich went there and kissed the ring of the dictator Assad, following in the footsteps shockingly, of Nancy Pelosi, who not only went to Syria, if you recall, but put on a headdress. You forgot about that, her first giant misstep. And not to get too far afield from my main point, where is Nancy Pelosi? Why has she stopped her public appearances? Why is she not seen nor heard? I'll tell you more about why I think so in a little while. The fact of the matter is, these acts of terrorism are coming from countries that hate us, that on one hand may be supplying us with oil, on one hand may be requiring our military help to protect them right now, but on the other hand, they are feeding the terrorists with great sums of money and intelligence, probably from our own intelligence sources, being leaked to them. In other words, it's the old Arab game of bait and switch, or playing both sides against the middle. These people have been around a very long time. They've been around for thousands of years, killing each other and playing games in the desert sands. And just as the sands of the desert shift, so do they. And they know that they may need us now both as a market and as a protector. But they know that in the long run, if they continue their game, we will be swept aside by the sands of history and the sands of time. That's how they look at it. Now compare them with the bright boys in our government. Boys who may have gotten all A's at a law school or all A's at some military academy. Boys who jumped on the pogo stick to move ahead within a corporate structure and then moved ahead within a military structure and then moved ahead in an intelligence structure. In other words, bureaucrats who have no long vision. Not only do many of them not have a long vision, they have no vision whatsoever. Their only vision is to preserve their own behinds and protect their pension and move on to the next job in their career. That's the problem we're facing. And we, the people, sense that. That's why we have little faith in the leadership, both sides of the aisle, and little faith in the intelligence agencies. And that's why we insist upon having faith in the poor boys down on the front lines, whether or not we support the war. We know that they didn't ask to be put there. Yes, it's an all-volunteer military. And yes, they understood when they volunteered for the military this day might come. But on the other hand, no one really said, send me to Iraq. Excuse me, not many of them said, send me to Iraq. Some do go back over and over again. They're the true heroes, the true warriors, and we have to love them. But when we see twits like Barbara Boxer, a longtime left-wing operative, possibly mentally unstable from Brooklyn, New York, who has hoodwinked people in California into thinking she represents them, ripping at a great warrior like General Petraeus, we know how weak we really are. And don't think that our enemies don't watch this on television and see weak socialist Brooklyn liberals ripping apart our bravest generals in public just for a little political gain. So listen to clip now as you hear the clip 10 now, as you hear the Harridan from Bensonhurst ripping at General Petraeus.
I represent 37 million people, so you can imagine how many letters I get.
All right, turn it off. I didn't know that the sound quality was not ready for radio, that I was set up and thrown out. What the Boxer, the leftist, is saying is she represents 37 million people. Well, Barbara, you don't represent 37 million people in the state of California. Maybe you represent 36,999,099, but you don't represent all 37 million Californians. I find you despicable. I believe you and your husband should be in orange jumpsuits, as far as I'm concerned. I believe Dianne Feinstein and her husband should be in orange jumpsuits, as far as I'm concerned. Don't you dare tell me you represent me and that we want General Petraeus to run out of Iraq with a white flag, opening up a vacuum that Iran will fill. Don't you dare say that. You've been a well-known military hater from the days that you started in Brooklyn over that oilcloth table. You've been a hater of police from the day you first opened your eyes in that crib in Bensonhurst. You've been a far left, anti-American, anti-military, anti-police woman from the day you could speak. Don't tell me you represent the state of California and that all 37 million people want us out of Iraq, because I'm one of the people of the state and you don't represent me, and I don't want to leave Iraq with our tail between our legs. Oh, yes, I want us out of Iraq. Let me be very clear about it. I want us out of Iraq, semicolon, after we have smashed the enemy over the anvil of our military, after the entire Sunni triangle has been reduced to rubble, after the entire Sadr city is nothing but smoke and tar, and after every single Ba'athist has been rounded up and put in internment camps, and kept behind barbed wire, as the hardcore of the Nazi Party were kept in Germany for years after the pacification of Germany. This is the most insane occupation and pacification I've ever seen in the history of warfare. It has not worked in the past because it could not work in the past. The reason we're having this national argument and this hand-wringing is because George Bush is the worst commander-in-chief in the history of the United States government. No commander-in-chief would send his men, young men, 18, 19, 20-year-old men, Marines, into the alleyways of Baghdad and Basra and Samarra before sending an air power to level and flatten the buildings. When have you seen American men forced to fight in hand-to-hand combat because the president is too politically impotent to have used air power? And if the president is politically impotent, then he has no right to drag us into a war. He has no right whatsoever to sacrifice Mrs. Smith's son for his political ends. And that's what it comes down to. Either we are at war, then we declare war. And we say who the enemy is, and we give them notice that we're going to take them down. It's not too hard to figure out who has to go. The little Hitler who wears the elevated shoes in Iran, every day he gets up with the psycho eyes, and he says he's going to wipe Israel off the planet. And he says he's going to wipe the Jews off the planet. And he says he's going to wipe America, the great Satan, off the planet. And we sit and listen to this maniac and do nothing about it when we have the technology to destroy him and his mullahs who are oppressing the Iranian people. Let me remind you that one cruise missile fired into a public appearance by this crazy, insane, anti-American psychopath with all of his mullahs would be cheered by the Iranian people. They would cheer their liberation if this man went to Allah. Why don't we do it? That's another question. There are several answers as to why Bush won't kill our most ardent enemy. He could have done it by now. He's had him in his sights for years. We keep hearing that Bill Clinton had Osama bin Laden in his sights. The CIA, the bravest of the brave operatives in the field, had Osama bin Laden in their sights. I've seen the video of it. Tall figure, 6'6", white robes. Should we go? Is it go, no go? It goes to these useless idiots in Washington, D.C. who went to Yale or Harvard, and the word comes back, no go, because there are women in the party. You hear this? It's not because there were women in the party. It's because there were Saudi princes in the party on a hunting party in Pakistan or in Afghanistan. And because the government is compromised to the extent that it is, where one day we're at war, the other day we're not at war, one day they're our enemy, the next day they're not our enemy. A certain part of the Saudi government is our friend. The other part is not our friend. You can't run a country when you have this much compromise. It's as simple as that. So we see great failure, which is why we have great strife in this country. If there was clear leadership and honest leadership, believe me, this would have been over 4 years ago or 5 years ago. They would have done what they did, which is smash the military. Then they would have figured out that a good portion of the Revolutionary Guard threw down their uniforms and disappeared and blended into the population. And then they would have done what they should have done within the first 3 months. Barbed wire the entire Sunni triangle where most of them ran. Barbed wire the entire Sunni triangle. If it would have taken 3 months to do so, concertina wire is much cheaper than human life. You concertina wire the entire Sunni triangle back in 2001. Or, excuse me, a few years after it took us a while to marshal the energy, and then he picked on Iraq. Some of you say, well, you shouldn't have gone to Iraq. Well, anyway, that's where our enemies are now from. They're from the Sunni triangle, largely. Of course, we have a good number of enemies amongst our friends, too. The Shia, for example, they're our friends, aren't they? Well, not really. Some of them are our enemies. But, gee, I thought we liberated the Shia from the Sunnis. Why do so many of them hate us? Well, we can't figure it out because the leader of our free world doesn't tell us why the Shia who we liberated hate us. Why do they hate us? Why does Mr. Sadr hate us, the man we liberated from Saddam's grips? Why do the Shiites of Iraq, the majority of the people who were oppressed for 30-odd years by Saddam Hussein, why do they hate us, so many of them? I'll let you figure that one out. When I tell you that Iran is largely a Shia nation, you understand that I was right when I wrote that liberalism is a mental disorder, and I predicted this would happen. Those of you who bought that best-selling book know that I predicted this, and I wasn't gloating over it. I said, I pray it doesn't happen. I said, I pray that this would not become the greatest military blunder in history, but it has become the greatest military blunder in history for many different reasons, not the least of which is that there's no strategy whatsoever, and there's compromise at every turn in every element of this government. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I invite you to michaelsavage.com where you could see the monologue I wrote called Uncivil Liberties. You can download it for free and give it to your friends. You can also see that San Francisco will not permit the U.S. Marines to film a recruitment movie on the streets of San Francisco or on the Golden Gate Bridge. They're acting as though they own the streets and they own the bridge when, in fact, they do not. And I, frankly, would like to see the people who did this arrested. That's what I'd like to see. There are other stories that you need to look at. Hillary Clinton's $23,000 raised from the shady Democrat donor, Mr. Hsu, suddenly the other day became $850,000 in bundle donations that we do not know the source of. This should be headline news. It's a shocking story. It's a repeat of Chinagate all over again to those of us who followed the careers of the Clintons. It's a repeat again of money coming from strange places for an American candidate, and we pray that the FBI gets to the bottom of it without interruption for political reasons. Dr. Savage warned you about this 25 years ago. Food additives may cause hyperactivity. I've been warning you about it since 1982, really, and my book, Healing Children Naturally, is a very important Bible for young parents or for grandparents, and I suggest that you get on the list to get one immediately, because I know they're going to be sold out, and I don't think I'm going to reprint them after the Christmas holidays. Enough is enough. I don't really enjoy selling anything on this show. I don't like selling my own books. I feel that it is exhausting for me to do so. And after this is over, I'm not going to do it anymore. You'll have to just go on the website and look at it. If you want to buy the Healing Children Naturally, the Alzheimer's, the Freedom of Speech, you'll do so. And I know they're going to move like crazy around October, November for the holidays. So get them now, because I don't think I'm going to reprint them. I'm probably going to close the website down at the end of December, but that's another story. If you want to talk about these topics or any other topic, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. There's another sad story, and I warned you this would happen. I warned this several years ago. Federal prisons have purged Christian and Jewish books out of prison libraries in order to stop Islamic conversions going on in the prisons. So because of the rotten apple of radical Islam, are we going to see Christianity and Judaism made illegal? Well, yeah, we are in the prisons. They're banning Christianity and Judaism so that we can prevent Muslims from being converted to the Wahhabi sect of Islam? That doesn't make any sense. For God's sakes, just ban Islam from the prisons, you idiots. This goes right to my point of uncivil liberties. Why do you think they're frisking your 98-year-old grandmother at the airport? That's because the civil libertarians, the psychos from NYU, belong in Creedmoor State Mental Hospital and Napa State Mental Hospital. Every mental hospital in the country should be reopened for these crackpots. They said, well, you can't stop one religion without stopping the other. So we're going to take all of the people who have found God, who have found Jesus in the prisons, and have eschewed lives of crime, and we're going to say, no, we're not going to let you look at a Christian book, and Jews can't pray in prison anymore, because we have to be fair. We have to be fair, so in order to placate the civil libertarians, we'll ban all religions from the prisons. Don't you see that this is the Marxists' dream? This is a Marxist's dream. It's a great dream for them. I predicted years ago that the Marxists would use the fear and the reasonable fear of radical Islam to ban all religion in this country. And then we'll wind up with a socialist, atheist state where we're 80% there already anyway. So it's a coming together. It's almost a perfect storm of elements going on in this country. A vacuum of leadership, corruption in Congress, and civil libertarians ruling the day. In essence, ruling the government because they're ruling the judicial system. And he or she who rules the judicial system ultimately rules the country. It does not matter what laws are passed. What matters is which laws are unpassed. And we saw last week that the pockmarked psychopathic pervert who runs the ACLU, gutted the Patriot Act, He runs the courts. He runs the country, not President Bush, not the Justice Department, not the FBI, not the CIA, but one sick demon who runs the ACLU with his cohorts from Brooklyn who send him the money. Jerry on WOR, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I commute to Ground Zero every day, and unfortunately today, even the ceremonies and the memory, you know, couldn't keep the MoveOn.org crowd or the Truth About 9/11 crowd out of there. It was disgusting to see.
Saying that the leftists were there debasing the day?
Yes, they don't have jobs. I don't know what they do to protest constantly. It was disgusting.
George Soros funds most of these groups. He's a psychopathic billionaire, in my opinion, a man who belongs in a mental hospital. He has a vendetta against America, even though he's a man who fled the Eastern Europe, came to the West, made his fortune by trading money in the temple, as it were, trading currencies, made billions of dollars, almost broke the English pound, almost broke the Malaysian currency and turned Malaysians who were moderate Muslims into anti-Semitic people. Yes, the very same George Soros funds most of these groups, in my estimation. But that's not the problem. The problem is why we no longer have a plumbers union like we had years ago. You know, in the 60s, there was a plumbers union run by a real old union boss. So when he saw these leftists in the anti-war movement of the 60s gathering at Wall Street, he gave the plumbers the day off. You know what happened, Jerry, don't you?
No, I don't. But I can imagine happened.
Well, what do you think would happen if you took a group of blue-collar plumbers, hard men who work with their hands all day, who are 99% patriotic, flag-waving Americans, family men, and the union says, we don't like those left-wing scum in the streets of Wall Street embarrassing America and hating our troops. What do you think happened in the streets of Wall Street? I'll let you put two and two together. One day we shall see America rise again, and I guarantee these leftists will scurry back to the sewers that they came out of.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I've repeatedly challenged the thinking behind the surge. What I have said in offering a plan to our Congress, embodied in a resolution known as House Resolution 1234, is that the United States must end the occupation, close the bases, bring the troops home, but we must have a parallel political process that reaches out to the international community with the help of Syria and Iran.
This morning, I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler. And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine. We, the German Führer and Chancellor, and the British Prime Minister, have had a further meeting today. And I agreed.
Oh, welcome to the Savage Nation. You just heard the traitor, Dennis Kucinich, on Syrian television saying that we must leave Iraq. He then goes on to say we must pay reparations for the million innocent Iraqis. This is astonishing. Think of the billions of dollars we've spent to liberate those ungrateful people in Iraq. And this rat, this unpatriotic, I'll go a step further, this traitorous rat who should be arrested on his return to America, Dennis Kucinich, goes to Syria, the heart of a fascist, racist regime just like Hitler's, and says that he is their friend. He gets on his hands and knees and says that he is the friend of this fascist, racist Assad of Syria. I would say he's the Chamberlain of our time, but that would be inaccurate. Chamberlain was a diplomat with a sense of history and a sense of dignity who also eventually came around to Churchill's viewpoint and recognized that Hitler was the beast that he was. A man like Denis Kucinich could not recognize that he is the useful idiot that he is. So we're going to talk about other things on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Basically, we're talking about 9/11. And I led today with my article on uncivil liberties. Uncivil liberties, and perhaps you've heard it, perhaps you haven't heard it yet, but you can read the commentary on michaelsavage.com. On the right side, we just put up a new article, Democrat donor sues connection to organized crime, ? And they interview a man named Raymond Shrimpboy Chow, who was an associate of Democratic donor Norman Hsu, who says he turned his life around after his bust for running a child prostitution ring and dealing heroin. Now, of course, he was indicted on racketeering charges in 1992 when San Francisco was a less corrupt city, when we still had a modicum of self-dignity and self-respect in this city. It has since been run into the ground by a group of illegitimate leaders, so-called, who have no shame whatsoever and no controls over their greed and their corruption. They will take a man like Ed Zhu, the supervisor, who is a third-generation Chinese-American, and an imposter from Hoboken, New Jersey, the gay supervisor, Amiano, an imposter from Hoboken, says that Ed Zhu is not a resident. Another imposter from Berkeley named Peskin says that he's not a resident. Another imposter from Chicago, who came here in the 70s, says that Ed Zhu, a third-generation Chinese-American who runs the family flower shop, is not only not a resident, but he is a gangster. And they try to run him out of his seat because he will not go along with their Marxist tendencies and their Marxist votes. Today they offer this man a plea deal in San Francisco, saying if you plead guilty, we'll drop all charges against you. To me, that's extortion. It's coercion. It's blackmail. And this is from a district attorney, Kamala Harris, who will not prosecute cop killers and will not give them the death penalty, but she'd like to give Ed Zhu a career death penalty by driving out of town on a rail. And why the Chinese-American community has not risen up, I will never understand, but they haven't. But just as I was shocked when the talk show community did not rise up to defend me, I'm not surprised when the Chinese community will not rise up to defend Ed Zhu. As far as I'm concerned, there are no communities left in this country except socialist and Marxist communities who are coalesced and cohesed by great sums of money coming from very, very odd places. So we can talk about uncivil liberties. We can talk about the need for internment camps. We can talk about the need to round up the enemies within. We can talk about leading the leaders because they won't lead us. We can talk about standing up to the gangs of the illegitimate suicidal leftists who run the media, who run the media and the government itself in many places, in order to defend ourselves. And as I concluded last hour, I said these crazy leftists would put their socialist principles above survival. And I'd like to remind them and you that the ultimate principle is survival. And of course, the worst part, the absolute worst part, is what's going on around the West. On my website, you can see white police in Belgium headlocking a white man who protested against the Islamization of Europe. In other words, when a brave American stands up and says, stop these Muslims from taking over this country, the government itself turns upon those voices. So you see police arrested two leaders of a so-called far-right party for staging a protest against the Islamization of Europe. This is astonishing. The entire West has an autoimmune disease. And I don't want to go into the medical medical description of what an autoimmune disease is, but recognize that we are suffering political AIDS, where the body turns upon itself and starts to kill its own defense cells. This started a long time ago when the ACLU and other so-called civil liberties groups were permitted to attack the white cells of our time, the police. They then metastasized into taking over the police themselves with so-called civilian review boards. They have placed themselves in U.S. military intelligence to cripple U.S. military intelligence. They have placed themselves inside the FBI to cripple the FBI. They have placed themselves inside the CIA to cripple the CIA. Consequently, we sit there shaking in our boots like beaten women, saying, I hope the Arab husband doesn't beat us again. But Millie, I'm sure we're going to get hit again. That's the way he is. Oh, my, I hope it doesn't hurt as much this time. That's the sad state of America today. A group of girly men running everything. That's how most of us see it. And we're disgusted. And we're all waiting and praying for a leader. And we don't see one anywhere. There are many imposters who wish to be our leader. There's the glue horse, Fred Thompson, who has no capacity whatsoever to be the leader we have been waiting for. There are others out there who are imposters because they've taken positions that are not concordant with true leadership, true conservative leadership. Giuliani, we well know, is a charlatan. Giuliani has played both sides against the middle. He's a big city liberal mayor who has placated virtually every left-wing group by giving them exactly what they have wished for all of these years. We have Mr. Romney, who I actually am more of a Romney fan personally than I am a Giuliani fan, and certainly not a Thompson fan. There are some questions about Romney that he can only answer on this program, but again, he's not showing the leadership required by coming on this program. And let me remind you, on my website, michaelsavage.com, approximately 17 million people have taken the time to vote and say, yes, Mike, leave radio and run for office. Now, I doubt that I'll ever do that. But I want to see this run up to 20 or 25 million people, and I will tell you why it's important that you do this. Because the day will come that you can control the outcome of the next election. They can only ignore you for so long, and then eventually they're going to have to come around to you. Oh, they won't come around now. They'd rather speak to a group of illegal alien farmers than to you, the conservative base of the United States of America. They'd rather speak to a group of screaming homosexuals than they would to you. Even they might even get one or two votes out of 10,000 on the Republican side, but they'd rather go before screaming anti-family homosexual mobs than they will before the conservative base. They'd rather go before screaming illegal aliens than before the conservative base. Let them do so at their own risk. Let them do so at their own risk because they're going to go nowhere. The party will disappear because there's no reason for the Republican Party to exist if it continues to behave this way. There are some great conservative Republicans. I had one on yesterday. As you well know, Duncan Hunter is the real stuff, the right stuff, too. He was here. His son, Captain Duncan Hunter, is going to run for his seat in Congress, and I hope he wins. You have Jeff Sessions in the Senate. You have Mr. DeMint from South Carolina in the Senate. There are few and far between true conservatives in the Republican Party, but they're rarely, if ever, heard from. And so I say to Romney, I really don't invite Giuliani on the show. He's not welcome to come on the show. Let him go to Sean Hannity and talk wall banging with him. Let him go on the Leprechaun show and talk about putting on green outfits at the Waldorf Astoria. I would like to have Romney come on the show to ask him where he stands in the war on terror. I'd like to know what he's going to do exactly that hasn't been done. I'd like to ask him where he stands on homosexual marriage. I'd like to ask him where he stands on so many issues. And he can only ignore you for so long, because if he continues to ignore you, he's not going to win. And the next president of the United States will be a far-left socialist who has received money, no doubt, from a socialist nation. On that wonderful introduction, on that positive note, on that optimistic point of view, we're going to take a quick break and then come back right here on the Savage Nation. Study finds that conservatives process information faster than liberals. It's on michaelsavage.com. The neurobiology of conservatism is a quicker reacting mind. Liberals are known to be sluggish. It's probably the marijuana and genetics. The many, many years of pedestrian thinking and the marijuana have led to a slower processing of information. Let's go to the callers. By the way, you can read the article. I didn't write it. The L.A. Times did, a liberal newspaper. Blame them. Albany, New York, E.J., you're up on the Savage Nation from WGY. Go ahead, please.
How you doing today, Dr. Savage?
Good.
Good. Before I continue to my point, I want to say many blessings to you and yours. Now, my point is, you were talking a moment ago about what president would send their boys into hand-to-hand combat. Franklin Delano Roosevelt ordered our boys take the city of Manila, which wound up being worse in regards to city fighting than Stalingrad. Our Marines...
Yes, yes, that was in the beginning, and he did so to avoid civilian casualties. I'm aware of that. But is it not true that eventually Manila was almost firebombed to ashes? Finally, Roosevelt had to reduce these cities to ashes at the end. Didn't he wake up at the end?
Yes, he did. And I'm hoping that George Bush at some point understands.
Well, that's my point. If you know, Santayana, the Spanish philosopher, wrote, "Those who do not know the history are condemned to repeat it." Well, George Bush maybe ought to read a history of World War II. Why is he being so nice to the Muslim enemy in Iraq? What's he afraid of, Reuters?
No, because the political structure here in this country is so poisoned that I have a feeling that unfortunately just...
He's unpopular anyway. We're hated around the world anyway. Who do we have to placate? Reuters and the Green Party in Europe? The Greens? What is this nonsense?
I don't know.
I say, either we declare war and go to war or we get out of there. That's all there is to it.
I may make one more point about the useful idiots you're talking about.
Sure.
Not many of you know, I know, and some of your other listeners, but in the case of those that don't know, there is a marketable difference between June 21st and June 22nd, 1941. On June 21st, there were...
I don't want to go there. You're going to have to forgive me. I don't want to get into World War II. It becomes an old guy show. Can't do it. Sorry. It's enough already with FDR in the Philippines. Houston, Texas. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I just like to comment. Usually I agree with what you have to say on the radio, but today on your opening comment, you said you believe World War III started on September 11, 2001. I disagree. I believe it started way before that. I think you would have to go back to 1979 when the Iranians took over the American...
Yeah, no, I think if you actually listen to what I said it started on September 11th. I said some could argue it started before then with some other acts, but dramatically, I think World War III started on September 11th because it was the most dramatic act on our soil. Sure, I know the World Trade Center had been bombed under Bill Clinton in 1993. I'm aware of that. But it wasn't dramatic enough. Not enough Americans had died. And it didn't succeed in bringing the towers down. Moreover, they didn't penetrate the Pentagon. So that dramatic act of 9/11/2001 was like our Pearl Harbor. By the way, I'm going to play in this hour the opening monologue from 9/11/2001. Guys, could you start that now? We'll break at the break and come back with it. Before I play it, I want you to hear what I said on September 11, 2001. Tell me whether you think I was prescient or I was wrong. Listen. Of the United States of America. The radical Muslim world has declared war on America. We are at war. We are at war. Attention, America. This is your Pearl Harbor. This is your Pearl Harbor. In the World Trade Center today, a World Trade Center that no longer exists, demolished by two hijacked airliners, taken over by radical Muslims. Ladies and gentlemen, you will never forget this day as long as you live. It is time for you to come out of your sleep. It is time for you to put your hats on forward. It is time for you to throw your pornography in a bonfire. It is time for you to turn off your sports. It is time for you to turn off your entertainment. You will not have a nation unless you awaken and stand up like a man. What can be done? I want to remind you that we are at war. We do not know the exact count of fatalities at the World Trade Center. As you well know, radical Muslims hijacked these two planes. In fact, on the web right now, Senator Orrin Hatch of the Intelligence Committee is reporting, we have intelligence that two connected to Bin Laden said over private airwaves, we hit two targets. We hit two targets. Those two targets, of course, are the World Trade Center in New York City, no longer existent. I'm going to remind you that the United States went to war when Pearl Harbor was attacked, when 2,800 or 2,700 or 2,900 boys were killed by the Japanese. Ladies and gentlemen, what will it take for this country to close the borders, to reassert English as our language, to stop the flood of asylees from every garbage can in the world?
Savage.
Savage Nation. In the next hour, we're going to have a real treat for you. We're going to play the entire first hour from September 11, 2001, including the full monologue that we opened with in the last segment that we gave you, because I think it's an important show. I think it was a seminal show. Many of you started listening to me on September 11, 2001, and remain loyal listeners ever since. And we're going to play that whole hour in the next hour, so I invite you to stay tuned. It's also good that we're doing it because I have certain problems going on inside me that I don't want to talk about. It sounds self-indulgent, but one of them may be related to food poisoning from a Chinese restaurant. I know you've heard it before, but I did it again. I went back to the same old local place, and the guy's nice enough, but the only thing I had in common with someone else who's sick is the mustard, the Chinese mustard. And I'm starting to think that the mustard must come from a Chinese mustard seed imported from China. Maybe the mustard seed has had heavy metals in it. And I have almost the exact symptoms of a mild heavy metal poisoning, kidney pain, headache, joint pain. It's astounding to me, but it's all related, I think, to a heavy metal poisoning in symptomology. What am I going to do? Sue the guy? I'm not a liberal. And I wouldn't go there. It's just unbelievable to me how you take your life in your hands in restaurants today. In too many restaurants at that. Not all, but too many. But it goes back to how I grew up. I grew up with people who cooked at home. They wouldn't even eat out if they had the money. They didn't have the money necessarily. A little bit, but they didn't do it every day and every night. Not breakfast, lunch, and dinner. In fact, I had an aunt that had enough money to do it, but they wouldn't. She said, what, are you crazy? You think I'm going to put my hands in some cook there? I don't even know where he put his hands 2 minutes before he put it on my sandwich or in my food. That's the way people were those. It's a different time, I recognize that. And certainly not all restaurants are like this, but I've had enough of this. I really have had enough of this. I can't believe that everywhere I go, you're going to get this or that, or a mustard or a shrimp or a piece of meat that came from somewhere, a chicken that was poisoned. Everywhere you turn, the food supply is rotten, all because of NAFTA and the international trade, by the way. That's correct. We had the cleanest food supply in the entire world until NAFTA came along. Once NAFTA came along, we got contaminated food from and vegetables and fruits from Mexico coming into the country. Then Bush, with his insanity with the WTO and international trade and breaking down trade barriers, we now have a flood, as you well know, of contaminated poison products from China. Where it ends, nobody knows. But if you remember, and I'm going to get off this in a minute, remember when the first hint of the contaminated food from China came along? It was about 6 months ago, and we heard about contaminated pet food that was killing our pets. I went on this show and I said, hey, Eddie, what about your spaghetti? That's because I understand food better than anybody in the American media. Not only because I love food, but because I have a PhD in nutrition from the University of California at Berkeley. So I understand it chemically. I understand it what it does to us physiologically. So when I saw that it was not wheat per se, but a component of wheat in the dog food that was killing the dogs, I said, bingo, it's going to show up next in our noodles and our macaroni, anything that comes out of China. And sure enough, it's not only that, it's toothpaste, it's this paste, it's that, whatever you touch. And they still don't stop it. They still don't crack down. Why? The almighty dollar. The almighty dollar put ahead of survival itself. Now, what does it have to do with 9/11? What does it have to do with terrorism? Everything. The very same forces of corporatism that are prohibiting us from cracking down on imports from China because the profits would be reduced are preventing us from stopping the imports of illegal aliens from the Middle East, asylees from the Middle East, and terrorists from the Middle East. Instead, they tell us that we're racist if we use common sense and saying, well, wait a minute now. We know that all the hijackers were from the Middle East. We know they all spoke Arabic. We know that they all shared a common religion. Why don't we look within those communities and stop bothering everybody else? The answer is because the government has lost control of itself. Because the government is compromised politically. It is compromised strategically. It is compromised on an intelligence level. It goes around and around and around. That's the whole problem. Now we'll take your calls here on the Savage Nation. KNEW, Nick, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, hi. You recently gave us a very comprehensive and astute analysis of the bin Laden video, but I think the most important point wasn't so much the content of the video, but it was the context. If you recall, over the last couple months, we've had a tremendous amount of red flags and warning signs. They've called this the summer of chatter. We had Chertoff and his gut feeling of an impending attack. We had the news report of an Al-Qaeda cell coming into the U.S. There was an Al-Qaeda video warning us of a big surprise coming soon. Also, a gift on 9/11 talked about on another website. And then, of course, the two European cells that were busted in Denmark and Germany. So I believe that we are at a period of incredible threat to our way of life. My research has also indicated that Al-Qaeda does have nuclear weapons. It's not a fringe kook thing. Paul Williams and other people like Joseph Farah, the founder of World Net Daily, and many others, retired generals and others, believe this to be the case. And I believe it is imminent. I believe the government knows, and they're not very confident about being able to stop it.
Well, wait a minute. Why don't they just do what was done in World War II? What's wrong with internment camps? Tell me what's wrong with that.
Nothing at all. It's common sense, and it's survival, but we're so infested with political...
You do a dragnet through a community, and you let the good ones go. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. It's too much already with the civil liberties. That's the whole point of today's show. On civil liberties, they're going to kill us!
Oh, and you had Jerome Corsi on your show talking about the fact that we have, you know, and apparently internment camps ready to be set up, and the national security...
Yes, president. But the internment camps will be set up for people like me, not for the enemy within. They will take voices like mine who are trying to warn America, and they will lock up the Paul Reveres of our time instead of the British, as it were, using a crude analogy.
I don't believe that's true. I believe that it's meant for Al-Qaeda and to stop that threat. But I believe
you do? Okay. What makes you think that this government, which is atavistic towards its own patriots, not only in Iraq, but here as well, persecuting patriots who have tried to warn them, persecuting Marines on the ground who do their job a little too well. What makes you think this government is so clear thinking that it would actually have the intelligence to round up the enemy rather than rounding up the patriot?
You know, that is a very good point, and I do believe that they are crippled by the structure of political correctness from the left and in the media. But
listen, I read yesterday that a former FBI agent just went to work for the ACLU as an attorney. I almost fell down when I read that. But it explained everything I've known to have been going on. First, they put their lawyers inside the intelligence agencies as people who vet the actions of the field guys and women. And then, after they reward them then with a cushy job at the ACLU itself. My friend, don't be so sure that this government is not being run by the ACLU. Why should a non-elected organization like the ACLU have the power that the government second-guesses itself at every turn? Moreover, that it can gut the Patriot Act itself. Who elected these Marvins from NYU to do this? Who put them in power?
Well, you're absolutely right about the FBI and the CIA being broken, and it's political correctness and it's liberalism. And
yeah, but we even heard in the 9/11 report there was no communication between the FBI and the CIA. But have they fixed that? The very people who broke that communication are now running things again. Jamie Gorelick, for example. Does the name ring a bell to you?
Absolutely. She built.
All right. Well, the History Channel ran a show today on 9/11 and what went wrong. They showed all of the people who wrote the whitewash called the 9/11 report. Every one of them. Keene and all of the others who wrote that report, which I called a whitewash the minute I heard it. And they had the audacity to use none other than this woman I just mentioned as the narrator for most of the show to show you how bad this is.
Absolutely awful. And I mean, just like,
so that's why I say to you, don't be so sure that the internment camps that they've built are going to be filled with the Muslims. They're liable to be filled with good old Americans who have been screaming and loudly screaming for years that the enemy within is going to kill us.
Well, if the Al-Qaeda pulls off their plan and hits several cities, I don't think we're going to even be able to get the camp.
They're more concerned about talk radio than they are about Al-Qaeda. They'd rather shut us down than shut down Al-Qaeda, as far as I can see.
Well, let's hope not. But thank you, Michael, for everything.
Let's hope not. Sure, let's live in a dream world, and let's have faith in the government. Tell me who you have faith in the government. A government consists of men and women. That's all it is. What is a government? A government is men and women. And it's only as good as the men and women who are in the government. That's all it is. In the last few months, a good portion of Mr. Bush's most inner circle have gone. They either quit or they quit or got thrown overboard. I can't tell. But some of the people who I think are complete failures are still there, like Condoleezza Rice. Do you have faith in Condoleezza Rice as national security advisor?
I don't. She's a school mom. She's an appeaser. She's a compromiser. And she's not that intelligent at the end of the day. I don't think she's that smart. I think she's a pretty reasonably intelligent academic from Stanford. That's about it. That's the most I can say about Condoleezza Rice. Now, why don't we have a gutsy Arabic-speaking man as national security advisor this far into the war on terror is anybody's guess. Why does George Bush have so much faith in Condoleezza Rice, who, after all, and I want to remind you, was in power when 9/11/2001 occurred. Do you remember that or not? I think wasn't she Secretary of State at that time, Beowulf? I think she was. Or was she wasn't national security advisor then. I don't remember what she was. She should have been fired. The entire government should have been fired at that time. Do you realize that the government should have been forced to resign after 9/11? They should have been forced to resign. They failed us. Let's not forget we reelected the very same government that failed us in 9/11/2001. So why would you assume that they're going to be able to protect us now? What gives you that confidence? Rice was national security advisor during 9/11. She's still national security advisor, isn't she? Or she's Secretary of State? Oh, she's moved up. They bumped her up, the Peter principal. I see. They had to bump her up a little bit. So she moved up in position. Remember, under Bill Clinton, we had that character, the lawyer from Hogan and Hartson, Sandy Bergler. Sandy Bergler, who was found with national secrets in his underwear and his socks, is still walking the streets of America, not in prison for 20 years. How is that possible? How could a national security advisor be caught red-handed with stealing secrets out of the National Archives, not be put away for 20 years? The answer is because there's not a whit of difference between the parties when it comes right down to it. It's an old girls' network, and they all protect each other's skirts. I'll be right back. Savage. Fear can be seen on my website, michaelsavage.com, in the third story on the left. Police arrested the leaders of a protest against the Muslim takeover of Europe. Rather than arrest the Muslim hate mongers who call for jihad, want Sharia law, they arrested the men of Belgium who finally stood up to them. That is what I'm afraid of in this country. The black van pulls up. Dr. Savage, please come with us. We're going to take you to a protection camp for your own safety. During these trying times. For your own safety, we're going to take you to a protection camp. No, it can't happen here. I understand that. We have checks and balances. Yeah, well, I didn't see any checks and balances when the mobs of illegal aliens came outside my studio. I didn't see any checks and balances, and when they came for Michael Savage, I didn't see Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh or O'Reilly or any of the others raise their voice in my defense, because they were not Michael Savage. But of course, they don't have the vision to understand that when they came for me, they were coming for them as well. They're just martinets of the media, and they don't understand that unless we stand together, we fall together. I want to remind you that the 9/11/2001 broadcast will be the entire next hour. It's a historic hour. It's worth doing, and that's why we're doing it for you. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the place where you can go to get all the news that you're not going to find anywhere else, I'm sure. I have a very good webmaster who does have a knack for finding stories that other people don't seem to pay much attention to. For example, voting in disguise, not popular in Canada. A moron in Canada. The chief electoral officer of Canada has allowed Muslims to vote fully veiled. Now, common sense would say you could vote many times, you don't have to be a citizen, but it shows you what happens once insanity is let out of a bottle. The insanity of political weakness. Once it is loosed, there's no end to the genie of what the genie will do to you. Christine, San Diego, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Michael, hi. I just wanted to call you today. I wanted to tell you that when I listen to your show, and I do listen often and for years now, I pinpointed today why I do. When I listen to the Star Spangled Banner, and I do know the words, and I get goosebumps, and I get tears in my eyes, that's the feeling I get when I listen to you, Michael, and I just wanted to thank you today.
Well, I don't know what to say other than thank you.
Thank you for listening. It's odd that somebody with a New York brogue would provoke the same feelings as the Star Spangled Banner, but then I am an American son. I'm the son of an immigrant who understands what legal means and what illegal means. I also understand that a nation is a nation of laws, not a nation of outlaws. I also understand that I define what a nation is and how a nation is defined, which is that a nation is defined by its borders, its language, and its culture. I said so on 9/11/2001, but I had said so going back to 1994, that a nation is defined by its borders, its language, and its culture. And yet we have Boxer and Feinstein and Durbin and Bush and Cheney and the others who say, we have no borders, we have no language, and fundamentally we have no culture because they've taken no positions in the culture wars, so therefore we have no culture. What kind of leadership is this? I'll take a Trojan horse over this kind of thing. WOR New York, Jeff, go ahead, you have the next word.
Heaven forbid San Francisco should ever need the military in case of disaster relief, but if they keep pushing the military out, if San Francisco pushes the military out of its own city, what is San Francisco Values going to do if they take over the White House? Hey, whatever.
What should happen is the federal government should cut off all federal money flowing into San Francisco, except for essential services such as that to fund that, the FBI, Homeland Security, and pensions or whatnot. All discretionary federal spending should stop because of the anti-American behavior of Gavin Newsom, the Board of Supervisors. It should stop. If I were in power, one of my first acts by executive order would be to dry up any money from the federal government, with the exception of the areas I just mentioned, to any city that declares itself a sanctuary city. I would cut off all federal money. You're a sanctuary city? Good luck to you. Then support yourself, since you're such a big shot. No federal money except for the FBI, the CIA, the Postal Service, and pensions for federal workers. Cut it off, all discretionary money. No building projects, no roadways, no bridges, nothing. No cleanup projects at military bases. Dead. No more federal money. Cut it off. You want to be a sanctuary city? You want to talk tough, Mr. Supervisor? Go ahead. Get your money from Mexico. See if we care. It could be done if we had leadership. If the buck stopped here, we could save this country. It can still be done. We need a leader. We don't need a, how shall I put it? Well, we don't have leadership. What we have is management. We don't need managers. We need leaders. There's a huge difference between managers and leaders. And I think you understand the difference. When you hear a leader speak, you respond to that speech. When you hear a manager speak, you go to sleep and change the channel. They may as well run a Pizza Hut or a chain of Pizza Huts. Not a country called the United States of America. Nashville, Tennessee. Jerry, you're going to have the last word in this hour. Make it a good one.
Hey, Dr. Savage. Thank you, sir. You know what? I honestly do believe that you are the voice of America. You stand up to the stall.
Well, I have a voice that is American, and it has resonated with millions and millions of people. That's despite my New York brogue, despite my tendency towards emotionalism when I get excited. But maybe because of that, they take me more seriously than the button-down boys. I don't know, Jerry, but I want to thank you for listening and for being one of my loyal listeners. Again, I want to remind you that the entire 9/11/2001 broadcast will be coming up in the next hour. And we have some amazing things for you to review. I think it's worth every minute of that hour to replay it. Yes, 9/11 will slowly disappear into the dim memory of America, and perhaps that's where we're going already. The left doesn't want us to remember because they say it's just the actions of reactionaries to gin up some war fever to justify the military-industrial complex. I'm sure there's an element to that, but I think overall the people need to be reminded of this horrible time in history. Not solely, that we should remember who did it to us, the 9 Saudi Muslims, but also the failures at all levels of the government in both parties, both the Clintons and the Bushes. Clinton, Bush, Bush, Clinton, Clinton, Bush, Bush, Clinton. Democrat, Republican. You pay your money and you take your choice. I'll take fresh orange juice, please.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You're listening to a special 9/11 anniversary edition of The Savage Nation. The following is from Michael Savage's broadcast on September 11th, 2001.
Of the United States of America. The radical Muslim world has declared war on America. We are at war. We are at, in the World Trade Center today, a World Trade Center that no longer exists, demolished by two hijacked airliners, taken over by radical Muslims. Ladies and gentlemen, you will never forget this day as long as you live. It is time for you to come out of your sleep. It is time for you to put your hats on forward. It is time for you to throw your pornography in a bonfire. It is time for you to turn off your sports. It is time for you to turn off your entertainment. You will not have a nation unless you awaken and stand up like a man. What can be done? I want to remind you that we are at war. We do not know the exact count of fatalities at the World Trade Center. As you well know, radical Muslims hijacked these two planes. In fact, on the web right now, Senator Orrin Hatch of the Intelligence Committee is reporting, we have intelligence that two connected to Bin Laden said over private airwaves, we hit two targets. We hit two targets. Those two targets, of course, are the World Trade Center in New York City, no longer existent. I'm going to remind you that the United States went to war when Pearl Harbor was attacked, when 2,800 or 2,700 or 2,900 boys were killed by the Japanese. Ladies and gentlemen, what will it take for this country to close the borders, to reassert English as our language, to stop the flood of asylees from every garbage can in the world? This is the result of a weakened nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at war. What must be done? Where are Bush and Cheney? What emergency steps are you taking? Are you offended at Bush's absence? 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number on the Savage Nation. This is a day that will live in infamy, but I want to tell you this. Many of you are frightened in the false assumption that terrorism cannot be fought against. That is the wrong assumption. It is the wrong conclusion. That is what you're going to hear from the defeatists. I want to remind everyone listening to Michael Savage that Japan's kamikaze attacks ended only after Truman dropped two atomic bombs on Japan. I will repeat that. Kamikazes never act on their own. They are financed, they are trained, and they are supplied by governments. Kamikazes do not act on their own. Japan's kamikaze attacks ended only after we dropped two atomic bombs on their homeland. We must atomize their training camps. We must atomize their training camps now. And I am not the only one who knows this. Congressman Rohrbacher from Orange County, California, this morning was furious. He had been trying to warn the morons at the highest level for months now that this was coming. And they called him a right-wing maniac. They ridiculed Rohrbacher. They dismissed him as a right-wing nut. Maybe you've dismissed me as a right-wing nut. When I've been telling you for years, close the borders, where do you think the terrorists came from? How do you think they got into our country? You morons, I've been telling you that ultra-tolerance is killing us. Well, the day has come. This is your Pearl Harbor. You're going to live with it just as I am. Reports now coming out of cities across America. Gasoline is $5 a gallon in Kansas City. Gasoline, $4 a gallon in Louisville, Kentucky. Gasoline is $5 a gallon in Detroit. Gas lines forming all afternoon throughout Tulsa, blocking major streets and intersections. Ladies and gentlemen, where is our president? I will tell you that I am appalled that we have not heard from Bush except for one mealy-mouthed speech this morning. I am shocked that he was forced to leave the nation's capital. I am disgusted that even Hillary Clinton was on the White House lawn giving a speech today, and nowhere could be found Bush or Cheney. And I voted for this man. Where is our leadership? Where have all the good men gone? This is what you get when you have a president who keeps saying, let's move on. By the way, the USS Cole was blown up a year ago. They're still investigating it. Maybe they should create a blue ribbon commission and hire somebody to go investigate it for 10 years. I am telling you that this is a direct result of ultra tolerance. This is a direct result of open borders. This is a direct result of a politically corrected society that is afraid to call what it is, it is. Everybody knows who did this. Everybody knows who's behind this. Everybody knows what must be done. Where is Bush? Where is Cheney? What emergency steps are you taking? What emergency steps are you taking now that we are at war? Do you have any idea what is going on? Do you have any idea what has happened to your country? Do you know that your life will never be the same? Are you aware that your comfort level has changed forever? Do you comprende, amigo? We are at war. Close the borders. Close them with Mexico. Where do you think these Middle Eastern terrorists are coming from? They're coming through Mexico. I've been trying to stop this. I've been telling you about it. I've been warning you about it. Dateline, Cairo, Egypt, today. Bullseye says Egyptians as they celebrate anti-U.S. attacks. Egyptian students, taxi drivers, shopkeepers, celebrating in Cairo. Bullseye commented two of them as they watched footage of the Twin Towers of your World Trade Center shrouded in plumes of smoke. Another Egyptian man told AFP he was pleased with the wave of violence in which another plane crashed into the Pentagon in Washington. Nice work, said Abdel Karim, who drives a car for an Asian embassy. He said, and I quote, "The Americans have forgotten that God exists. They have us by the throat, and now they find themselves in a science fiction film scenario, but this time Rambo's not there to save the White House." Ladies and gentlemen, Abdel Karim hailed the attacks as the best thing that's happened since the October war. Egyptian is considered an ally of the United States. Egyptian is considered one of the moderate countries in the Middle East. Khalil Matar, 43, who works in a state-run soap factory, said, "The Americans are cowards. They use other countries to hit us. They don't have the courage to meet us face to face. The myth of the indestructible United States has gone up in smoke." What about the women of Egypt? Compassion? Let's listen to Polytechnic student Amira Riyad, who said, "We saw the World Trade Tower crash down," referring, of course, to the towers going down. She said, quote, "I only wish U.S. President George Bush and his dear little baby, Ariel Sharon, had been buried in there, too. There are your moderate Arabs." Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to John Ashcroft, our politically corrected attorney general, now speaking on the Savage Nation.
"Now is the time for us to come together as a nation to offer our support, our prayers for victims and for their families, for the
rescue workers,
law enforcement officials, every bus that has been changed forever by this horrible tragedy.
What are you doing to protect us?"
The following is a summary of the known facts surrounding today's
incident. Turn him right off. I want him off my show. I want this Mr. Rogers off my show. Where is the muscular reaction? Where are the men of America? Where is the leadership of America? Next, we're going to hear that we're going to get counselors going out so you can get on your hands and knees and pray. They'll tell you what color ribbon to put on. I'll be right back.
Yeah. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. To an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You're listening to the special 9/11 anniversary edition of The Savage Nation. Now, please rise and remove your caps for our national anthem.
Savage.
has been declared on America by the radical Muslim world. So far, we have only heard speeches by passionless organization men who feel nothing, who say nothing, who do not protect us, who cannot protect us. Where are the men of America? You've heard me say that this is what happens when you get an MBA for a president instead of a leader. I've been screaming for leadership from the day this guy came to power and started to act this way. He's been saying, let's move on. Let's move on. Let's not look at Chinagate. Let's not look at those who may have been treasonous in the past administration. Let's let Dianne Feinstein talk about China like it's our friend. Let's let Biden get on the air today and say, let's not rush to judgment. This is what happens when you don't have a leader. If you trust these organization men to pull you out of this mess, then you're a bigger sad sack that I have ever seen. We are at war. Everybody knows who did it. They're taking credit for it. They're celebrating in many Middle Eastern cities, giving out candy to children, dancing in the streets, saying, hooray, we hit a bullseye. Ladies and gentlemen, the one thing I want you to remember today is this. I have heard people say, we cannot fight terrorism. We cannot strike back at those who are willing to die for their cause. Nothing could be further from the truth. Why? Because Japan's kamikaze attacks, where Japanese pilots crashed their planes into our ships, those kamikaze attacks came to an end only after we dropped two atomic bombs on Japan's homeland. Remember this, kamikaze suicide bombers do not act on their own. They are financed, they are trained and supplied by governments or rogue states. There are reactions that must occur. I do not think they will occur. I just watched one of the most pathetic shows of weakness in my life. A Senate, a House, they give a speech and they sing like a group of school children, God bless America, and nobody screams for vengeance, and nobody says that these deaths will be paid for. I have never seen anything like this in my life. We have a nation of beaten morons running the country, and I'm going to say it like it is. There doesn't seem to be a man or woman amongst them, and the most nauseating of all was Charlie Schumer. After the event, he was smiling and laughing and doing deals on the side. That's who you have up there, a bunch of bag men and bag ladies. We do not have a central government. We have a bunch of special interest representatives. Now, I want you to listen to one of the most pathetic shows of weakness in my life. Listen now to the Savage Nation. Here's your leader. Take us to your leader. Do you believe what you're listening to? Instead of screaming death to those who perpetrated this on us, they're singing like they're in a high school assembly, these morons. I never heard anything like this. I feel like I'm on a ship that's going down like the Titanic, and the captain and the crew went up to the rear deck and they got out their little Bibles and they're singing on the back of the deck. I never heard anything like this. Never. The training camps for this type of event are in the Bekaa Valley of Lebanon. They are in target. The U.S. military knows where they are. They have them in their sights. They could have taken them out yesterday, last month, last year. That's number one. Number two. We know that the terrorists are trained in only three or four places, and the capitals that are supplying them with money and with intelligence are only in three or four capitals. Those capitals should disappear. You see what I'm getting at? Ladies and gentlemen, I also want to tell you that your life will never be the same. It will not go back to normal. You've got to accept that. And anyone who tells you otherwise is crazy. Your country will never be the same. The country will never be the same. Close the borders now. Slam the gates shut on Mexico. That is where these terrorists are seeping into our country. They're all around you. They're in this country now. They've come here on student visas. They've come in on the phony asylum rackets. They're in this country. They have been in this country. I've been trying to warn you about this, and nobody has taken me seriously. They've marginalized Michael Savage. They marginalized the few congressmen and senators who were concerned, and we were right all along. That's not the issue. The issue is, what do we do now? The issue is, where is our leadership? The issue is, what kind of government do we have? I want to say at this time that whether or not Israel existed wouldn't matter. The radical Muslim world is a world of terror. It is a world of terror from top to bottom. It is a world where there are no rights. They are killing Christians in their own countries. They are jailing Christians in Afghanistan. They would have attacked America one way or the other, with or without Israel. That's my opinion. We are at war. We know who did it. There is no point to do any studies. I say unleash the nukes now and look for the perpetrator later. That is my opinion. If you think it's reckless, there's nothing I can do. That's my nature. If I were in charge of this, I wouldn't hesitate to drop a few nuclear weapons today on the capitals that I know have to be involved with this dastardly act against our people and our nation. And if we don't react, further damage will be done to this country. That is my opinion. We have the capability, but we are like the pitiful, helpless giant. We are like a giant that has been blinded. And my heart is not broken, but my heart is down today, ladies and gentlemen. My heart is down because I have no leader to turn to.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You're listening to a special 9/11 anniversary edition of The Savage Nation. The following is from Michael Savage's broadcast on September 11th, 2001.
America is at war. We have not yet been told with whom. However, our great leaders, after a busy day of flying from here to there and taking naps and having meetings, will eventually tell us who we might be at war with. I want to remind those of you who are frightened that yes, there is reason to be frightened, but no, it is not a time to crawl under a bed. It is a time to realize that either we stand up as a nation or we disappear as a people. We stand up and we say that we can fight terrorism. Kamikazes do not act on their own. Terrorists do not act on their own. They are given their bombs. They are trained and given their missions, and they are financed by governments and by rogue states. Remember in World War II, our boys faced men willing to die for their country of Japan, Japanese airmen who flew their planes into our ships. After we dropped two atomic bombs on their homeland, and their military's might was broken, and their political might was broken, and the will of the people was broken, there were no longer any kamikaze attacks coming from Japan. We need to launch the missiles immediately. If we do not act within the next 6 to 12 hours, they will laugh at us. They will do it again. This is a direct result of weakness. The radical Muslim world has declared war on your way of life. We are at war. What must be done? Where are Bush and Cheney? Are you offended at Bush's absence? What must be done? You know what sickened me today? I'll tell you the truth. When I saw the Congress giving a speech, one congressman after another, Schumer, I saw Senator Hillary Clinton giving a speech, and George Bush was nowhere to be found. Dick Cheney was nowhere to be found. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I couldn't believe that we had no leadership. What would you do if you were in charge? What must be done right now in the United States of America, other than closing the borders and ending all asylum in the United States of America? We must kick out everyone in this country who's here on an asylum racket. Everyone here with a false asylum racket should be thrown out of the country immediately. We've gone to sleep. We're like a gigantic nation of somnambulists. Maybe this is our wake-up call. God willing, this terrible tragedy could wind up saving America. This is a new world. This is exactly what we feared. I expect that the Anti-Terrorism Act put in place by Bill Clinton, the Emergency Act, will go in place sometime in the next few days. That means that our freedoms will be restricted. I haven't any idea when it will happen. I haven't any idea what impact it will have upon your life. But I do know that FEMA is probably going to declare a state of emergency. I do know that we on the right have been warning you about these extraordinary powers that would be turned on the wrong segment of society, which are probably the law-abiding side of society, rather than those who perpetrated this terrible acts. I believe we are paying the price of Bill Clinton's capitulations, Bill Clinton's constant coddling of terrorists, Bill Clinton's hugging and kissing of Arafat, Bill Clinton's destruction of the military, Bill Clinton's constant political correcting of America, to the point where we're virtually a pitiful, helpless giant.
Savage.
Russ on the Savage Nation, welcome.
Hello, Dad. How are you? It's awful.
How do you feel today? On the line is Russ Savage, son of Michael Savage, a different generation with a different perspective. How do you see this?
Well, I'll tell you right now, when I ran for California State Assembly 3 years ago, at the end of my campaign after I lost, I won the primary, then lost the general election in a liberal area, I wrote a poem, and it basically went like this, is that liberals will lay in the sun until they get skin cancer. They'll eat fatty foods till they'll have a heart attack. They'll drink till they have liver cancer. And they'll vote liberal until the country is gone. People don't react until it's too late. That's human nature, and that's the liberal nature. It's a tragedy, but we knew it was coming. The conservative movement always knew this day was going to come, but we prayed it wouldn't come this fast. That's the reality of this. We all knew it was going to happen. We just prayed it wouldn't happen.
What is it that you would do as a young man? You've not fought in a war. You weren't in Pearl Harbor. Neither was I. What would you do today?
Well, I did. I thought about going out on the sides of the freeways and holding up an American flag and just doing anything I could do. I know what we all want to do, but we can't do that. Everyone has emotions of hate and anger right now.
Now, you have a friend who works for a major financial brokerage. Tell us about that, will you, Russ?
Morgan Stanley had, I think, 50 floors of one of the buildings. Everyone in there is gone. And Merrill Lynch, I think, occupied 50 to some other crazy amount of floors in another building.
Where? In the World Trade Center? They were in that building 50 floors?
Each, at least. And they're both gone off the earth. And now how do you rebuild something when there could have been trillions of dollars of money we don't even know about and records? And it's unfathomable how deep this really gets. But instead of focusing on this, we got to talk about what people should do right now to stick together. I think immediately everyone should have a contact of at least 200 people that they can call and set an emergency meeting place in their local area in case things get bad. We don't know what could happen. There could be bombs in every city waiting to go off. We have no idea, truthfully. No one wants to talk about that reality. But the truth is there could be 50 bombs. There could be anthrax waiting to be dropped in rivers. We don't know what could go on. And if anyone thinks you're nuts for even thinking about this, then tell them to go to hell. But you have to talk to the people that have any brains on their shoulders, which is one-third of the country, and get a network together of all your close friends and people you can trust that can talk and be ready in case things go down, because it could go down really badly, and it could happen.
And you raise a very, very important point, Russ. We have been trying to stop the flood of illegals into this country. We know that many of the terrorists came in through Mexico and through Canada. We've been screaming about it for 6 years on the radio. We've been called racist. We've been called every name under the sun. We were right all along, Russ.
You need
the problem is that the leadership never, ever accepted what I was saying. Never.
The conservatives that listen to you need to tell their liberal friends they caused this problem with their stupidity and their foolishness and trusting everyone like they're a stupid five-year-old, that everyone is fair and nice in the world. Idiots. They're nothing short of fools. And from now on, if you ever hear someone talk up openly the wrong way about America, I can't tell you what should happen to these people, but they should be ridiculed in public and told them, you don't forget what happened this day in America. That's what it has to be.
Yes, it's a time for us to come together as Americans.
We have to, and it'll be
borders, language, culture.
Borders, language, culture.
I've been trying to warn the people that we are a nation. Perhaps we will still come together as a nation. God bless America. God bless you, Russ. I will see you after the show.
Keep up the fight, Michael. We all count on you every day.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage. You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show.
You're listening to a special 9/11 anniversary edition of The Savage Nation.
Their poem, Jeff Away, to talk about United 93.
Do we want to think about scrambling aircraft?
Oh, God, I don't know.
That's a decision somebody's going to have to make probably in the next 10 minutes.
You know, everybody just left the room.
Okay, there is now on United 93.
Yes.
There is a report of black smoke in the last position I gave you, 15 miles south of Johnstown.
From the airplane or from the ground?
They're speculating it's from the aircraft.
Okay.
Who hit the ground? That's okay. That's what they're speculating. That's speculation only.
I also want to give you heads up, Washington.
Go ahead.
United 93. Have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land? Because we have confirmation.
He did not land.
Oh, he's down?
Yes, bound? Somewhere up northeast of Camp David.
Northeast of Camp David.
That's the last report. They don't know exactly where.
I know how hard it is for people who come from abroad, from all over the country, all over the world, to just integrate even in an accepting, warm country like ours is. And I can only imagine how much harder it must be at a time like this, when it's so easy for people in the street and elsewhere to discriminate, to be fearful, to not trust, because you happen to come from a certain part of the world, right now, the Middle East. It's unfortunate, it's unnecessary, it's really not what the American people are about, nor its constitution.
The abuse of Iraqi prisoners began with an abuse of power by the Secretary of Defense, Mr. Rumsfeld. Justice will be served in Iraq only when America accepts responsibility for the prisoner abuse in Abu Ghraib and fires Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. No one is above the law, not even those who show contempt for the law.
Not even torture Jim McDermott, who should be fined for getting up with the big mouth that he has and attacking the United States government at a time of war. I accuse the enemies within this country of not only causing 9-1-1, but of causing the collapse of the United States of America by focusing on the abuse of prisoners at Abu Ghraib. I declare war on all of you. You are the enemies within. And damn it, if there's not one Republican with the balls to stand up to you, then let it be me. Let me be the only man in America saying, you are the problem. You, McDermott, you are the problem. You are the enemy of America. I did not hear one word out of your forked tongue, not one syllable out of your forked tongue about Islamofascism and its war in America. I did not want to hear one word out of Teresa Hines Kerry as she catered to the Anti-Discrimination League of the Arab Americans about the fact that of the 19 hijackers, all of them were Arab Americans from Saudi Arabia. I did not hear one word from any of the Democrats condemning Islamofascists or Islamofascism. All I hear is an attack on President Bush as though he is a bigger enemy. Ladies and gentlemen, I tried to warn you in my book, The Enemy Within. You thought it was a joke. You think it's a joke. You think it's all about books. You have no idea that America's future hangs in the balance like a loose tooth. And I want to read you something right now. It goes like this, if everyone out there thinks it's all about ratings and a joke. Whether you know it or not, America is engaged in the fight of her life. Frankly, the tragic events on 9-1-1 were just a wake-up call. Militant forces have painted a bullseye on the forehead of Lady Liberty. They spend every waking hour plotting how and where to strike once more. Thankfully, our Commander-in-Chief, President George W. Bush, responded swiftly by proclaiming a war on terrorism. If it were not for a number of unpopular but necessary measures to strengthen our homeland security, I am convinced we might have already been hit again. The threat to our safety remains real to this day, Teresa Hines Kerry and Jim McDermott. As America fights the war against terrorism, the single most effective way to stop our effort dead in its tracks, Teresa Hines Kerry, might surprise you, Jim McDermott. It has nothing to do with enemy aircraft, Mr. Kennedy. It has nothing to do with tanks, guns, bombs, booby traps, Mr. Kennedy or Mr. Gore. It has nothing to do with the use of biological or conventional arms against our boys, Mr. Kennedy. As weapons go, this lethal device can do more damage than 1,000 dirty bombs, Miss Kerry. Worse, it's not deployed on the battlefield, Mr. McDermott. It is unleashed right here on our own soil. What is this weapon of mass destruction? The tongue. The ultra-leftist traitors within our borders have unleashed a relentless barrage of words against the war on terrorism with their subversive tongues. These turncoats and their sympathizers spew a web of lies and anti-American hatred with unquenchable zeal. Their goal? Sabotage President George W. Bush's effort to fight terrorism. That's number one. Beyond that, they desire to put a Democrat socialist in power. These modern-day Benedict Arnolds are openly anti-American. They have no shame. As I demonstrate, you will find them boldly waging a war on the war in five primary places: our colleges, Hollywood, the media, and politics. And I go on pages 73 and 74 of The Enemy Within. You pick up the newspapers today, and again you see the forked tongue of the ultra-leftists who run the newspapers. Instead of focusing on the Islamo-fascists and the fact that sleepers exist amongst us, and talking about how we must all be vigilant in rounding them up, enforcing the Muslim pressure groups to point them out and shake them out to get their butts out of those mosques and turn them over. But no, we don't hear any of that. All we hear is Rumsfeld must resign. Saddam didn't help Al-Qaeda. Not one word of condemnation for those who attacked us. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think you understand how far we have come in the twisted mindedness of the media. How far we have fallen as a people that we don't even understand what risk we are at. When you hear these words of Jim McDermott calling for the resignation of Rumsfeld, when you hear Theresa Hines Kerry getting on her hands and knees like a lapdog before the Anti-Defamation League of the Arab Americans instead of saying you have a responsibility, you must show your loyalty to this country. You must point out the enemies within your community who are besmirching the great religion of Islam. She did not say that once. Instead, she tar-brushed the whole of America as a racist nation. Jim McDermott, a loyal American, we all know that. So far, he has not condemned Islamo-fascism. Instead, each day he condemns the United States of America and its leadership. But which side are you on? Which side are you on? Are you on the side of terrorism, or are you on the side of the survival of the United States of America?
Savage.
By 750 AD, the Muslim Empire spread from Spain. All of Spain had been conquered by the Muslims. Again, not by the preachings of love, not by the preachings of Jesus, not by love thy neighbor, not by any such thing, but by killing, burning, cutting throats and such. The dominion of the Muslim Empire had spread from Spain all the way through Persia into Turkistan, which is now Turkistan, which was once a part of the ex-Soviet Union. And so you have to understand how it was spread, and they're doing the same thing. Because even then the Arabs had little political aptitude, no political experience whatsoever, but they were able to expand their empire. How? They didn't need politics. They didn't need political experience. They didn't need political aptitude. They did it very speedily with terror. And unfortunately, I believe we're seeing history repeat itself. And there's nothing else that I can say. The great days of the Arabs, unfortunately, are not being taught anymore. And the amazing story of the conquest, one of the most amazing stories of conquest in the whole history of the human race, is that of the Arab conquest of Europe in only 25 years. The Byzantine army was smashed at the Battle of Yarmouk in 634. You want me to go on with history? I mean, it's a pretty amazing history. It's a pretty amazing history. Syria, Damascus, Palmyra, Antioch, Jerusalem, falling without resistance to the Muslim. Large elements of the population converted to Islam out of sheer terror. Then the Muslim murderers turned east. The Persians tried to stop them with an able general known as Rustam. Remember, the Persians were not Muslims at the time. Our Iranian friends were not always Muslim, were they? And in fact, the Persians had a great army. Fabulous army, bigger than the Arabs. They had a great army with a force of large elephants, the Persians did. The equivalent of the M1A Abrams tank. And the Persians fought for three straight days at Qadisiyya, and they lost. And they ran away. And then Persia was conquered and became Muslim. Was the appetite quenched? No. The Muslim Empire pushed far into western Turkestan. And then it went up and it met the Chinese. Egypt was not Muslim. It fell without resistance to the new conquerors, who then wiped out the vestiges of the book copying industry of the Alexandria Library. All you liberals, pay attention. Your friends burnt the Alexandria Library to the ground. What happened next? Were they happy then? No. The Muslim invaders poured along the north coast of Africa to the Straits of Gibraltar and Spain. Spain invaded in 710. The Pyrenees Mountains were reached in 720, 10 years later. In 732, the Arabs had reached the center of France. But what happened at that point is what needs to happen today. Unfortunately, it was not done with a pile of flowers. You've got to understand what's going on in terms of history, or you can't understand it at all. You have to understand what the Arab conquest was in the past in order to understand how the world became Arabized in that time.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of The Michael Savage Show. Savage.